Thanks, Mike. Thank you for having me. I came here last year. It was wonderful to be with you then. It's great to be with you now. I love coming here. It's a chance to meet with you. It's a chance to catch up with Mike and Philippa. And also I get a Sunday lunch after the service, which is always a good thing. So thank you for your welcome. Thank you for the hospitality. Just a little bit about me. So Mike and I grew up in the same school. We went to the same church as teenagers. Our paths took slightly different directions. I became a vicar. I became the vicar first and was vicar for 20 years and then moved out of that to work with Open Doors. And I know many of you support Open Doors, are familiar with the ministry of Open Doors. For those of you who aren't, our passion is the persecuted church. So we exist to stand alongside and to support and resource Christians around the world who suffer persecution for their faith in the Lord Jesus, those who share our faith but don't share our freedom. And just at the start, just two resources I want to share with you. The first is this, God's Smuggler, a book that is the story of the life of Brother Andrew, who is our founder. And if you've never read this book, I do encourage you to try it. It tells the story of how Open Doors began and how the ministry started. Smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain into Eastern Europe, and it's still a ministry. We continue today smuggling Bibles around the world. These are free, so if you like one, come and see me. And then the second resource is this, a prayer guide to the 50 countries around the world where it's most difficult, most challenging to follow Jesus. Every year we do a survey of the world and we look at what's going on in the church around the world and then develop this guide to those 50 countries where it's most difficult following Jesus. And we've just got a short video clip now just of the top five, which shares the challenges that our brothers and sisters face in those countries. Thank you.
Jesus said, "On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Persecution is as real for the church today as it was for Jesus' first followers. Every day, millions of Christians pay the price of witnessing for Christ. And these are the top five countries where faith costs the most. Sudan is at number five. In this war-torn country, more than 100 churches have been attacked, and believers have been abducted and killed. Christians who are displaced often face discrimination when aid is given out. At number four is Libya. In Libya, converting to Christianity can cost you your life. Anyone leaving Islam risks violent pressure from their families and communities to renounce their new faith. Christians are kidnapped and even killed. Yemen is number three on the list. There are only a few brave Yemeni Christians. Zara used to work alongside another believer to disciple secret Christians until he was murdered by extremists. But despite death threats, she carries on. Number two, Somalia. All Somalis are expected to be Muslims. Step away from that path and you pay a high price. Christian converts are violently targeted by community, the authorities and jihadists. And at number one, North Korea. Still the most dangerous country in which to be a Christian. Having escaped this prison nation and found freedom in Christ, Joo Min made an incredibly brave decision. She would return to North Korea and share her newfound faith. If she's discovered, she could be sent to a labor camp or even killed on the spot. More than 380 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. That's one in seven believers worldwide. Each day, they bear witness to the light and life that is found in Jesus Christ. But the risks are great, and the price is high. For 70 years, Open Doors has supported our persecuted church family with crucial aid, Bibles, training, and long-term care. Your prayers, your gifts, your voice can bring hope to believers in places where witnessing to Christ costs everything. Discover more at opendoorsuk.org.
In Open Doors, we talk about the smash and the squeeze of persecution. And that video and some of the countries that are high up the top 50 list, those are countries where persecution takes the form of the smash. Those harsh, violent acts that you might see about on the news, read on the internet, hear reported in the church. Churches being destroyed, Christians being abducted, pastors being kidnapped. That's the smash. But there is also the squeeze of persecution, which affects Christians, just ordinary Christians going about their ordinary, everyday lives. Mike travelled with me to Bangladesh last year, and we met lots of Christians from different backgrounds. I remember meeting with a young lad. He was about 17, the same age as one of my sons, and he shared that in their school, they give 2 hours a week to religious education. And in Bangladesh, there's freedom of religion, and so the authorities say that whatever religion you are, you're allowed for 2 hours in school, in school time, to study your religion. So whether you're Hindu or Christian or Muslim. And this young lad, he was the only Christian in his school, he was the only Christian in his village. And so when it came to the religious education, he asked if he could opt out of the Islamic class and instead study the Bible. And the teacher said, no, you will have to study the Bible. You have to study the Quran. You have to do the Islamic classes the same as everybody else. He's 17. And he says, well, I don't want to do that. So he speaks to his teacher, and then he speaks to his headmaster. And the headmaster says, we have nobody who can teach you the Christian faith. You will have to study Islam like everybody else. He said, but I'm a Christian. I don't want to. And then he found that his grades were lowered in the exams and in his class. And as he was coming to the end of his school time, he realized that he was not going to get the grades that were going to be able to enable him to go on to further education because he was a Christian. That's the squeeze of persecution. Everyday discrimination because of your faith. Or think of a lady called Rebecca. Rebecca grew up in a Gulf state. She's a primary school teacher. She works in a private school. And she longs to share the faith that she has found in the Lord Jesus, the hope that she's found in the Lord Jesus with the children that she works with. But she knows she can't do that in a school setting. So she just wants to make friends with the mums and the parents of the school. And in that way, share her love for Jesus. And yet every year, she will be told that because she's a Christian and doesn't share the Muslim faith of the parents and the children of the school that she works in, that she can't drink at the same water fountain that the children use. And every year at that school, at the end of the school year, the teachers will line up and the children will present them with gifts. And there'll be a gift for all of the other teachers, but not for Rebecca, because Rebecca is viewed as unclean. And so there are no gifts for infidels in the school that she goes to. That's the squeeze of persecution. That everyday discrimination that makes you feel that you're counted as less, that your faith is not worth the same as everybody else whom you live amongst and who you work with. The smash and the squeeze. How does Jesus view those who are persecuted? His children are brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, we have his teaching on that in the reading that Mike read for us. And Jesus says, blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed when you experience either the smash or the squeeze of persecution. Whether you experience that in Nigeria or Bangladesh, or Jordan, or Iran, or North Korea, or Sheffield here in the UK. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, when you experience the smash or the squeeze for my sake. What does it mean to be blessed when you're persecuted? I think what we have here is what you could call the paradox of persecution. The paradox of persecution. We think of blessed as meaning something fortuitous that has happened, something beautiful that has happened, something that is good that has happened in your life. You might say, I've been blessed with 27 years of marriage. You might say, I've been blessed with a lovely house. You might even say, I've been blessed with 3 children. Sometimes I feel blessed to have 3 children. Sometimes I'm not so sure. But you have that sense that you're blessed means that something good has happened. Something I'm pleased with has happened. And yet Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted. What does he mean? Well, the Greek word for blessed is makarios. And it can carry the meaning of happy, but can also carry the meaning of being in the right place. Being in the right place. You have that sense sometimes, don't you, of being a round peg in a round hole. You're in the right place. You're in the place that fits you. And I think that's what Jesus means here when he says, blessed are the persecuted. He's saying, you're in the right place. You're in the right place when people persecute you. You're in the right place when people treat you harshly and badly for my name's sake. You're in the right place when you experience the smash or the squeeze because you seek to be faithful to our Father in heaven. Jesus says, you're blessed. You're in the right place. You're a round peg in a round hole when you seek to walk the walk of obedience and be salt and light in a dark and dangerous world. These words are from the Sermon on the Mount, that kind of summary of Jesus' teaching, his most famous sermon. And I'm sure if you've been in church for any length of time, you'll have heard a sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes that mark the life of a believer. And Jesus describes what the characteristics of a faithful follower of him will look like. They'll be meek, they'll be peacemakers, and they'll be persecuted. There's something unique about this last beatitude that Jesus gives here when he talks about persecution. There's something different to this beatitude than all the others that Jesus lists. In this final beatitude, Jesus repeats himself and he personalizes his teaching to those who are listening. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then he says, and blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. This is personal for Jesus. Jesus is speaking to people who he knows well, his 12 disciples and the crowd who have gathered around them and who follow along with them. And Jesus looks at people who he knows will die for him. People who he knows will be brought before governors and kings and will testify on his behalf before them. And Jesus says to them, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. This is personal for Jesus. And this isn't just a teaching for the 1 in 7 who live in the countries on our top 50 list. This is a message for us too. No one is greater than his master, says Jesus. If they persecute me, they will persecute you as well. And you might not experience that smash. You might not be kidnapped. You might not have your church knocked down. Your children might not be taken away from you. But I'm sure there's more than one of us in this room this morning who've experienced the squeeze of discrimination, when we've been looked at as though we're weird because we follow Jesus, when we've had an opportunity to share something of our faith with our friends or our family, but we know it'll be met with sarcasm or scorn or just a cold shoulder, when we've experienced a sense of that suffocation that actually it'd be better if we just kept our head down, got on with our life, don't say anything to anyone. And yet Jesus says to us, you will be persecuted. And when that happens, it's not a sign that things have gone wrong, but it's a sign that you're in the right place and you're doing the right thing. Jesus uses two images here in his teaching to his followers who will be persecuted and how they're to live in the midst of persecution. He says that you're to be salt and you're to be light. And I'm sure these images are familiar to us here in church this morning, at least those of us who've been in church for any length of time. One of the great blessings that being part of Open Doors has brought to me has been the opportunity to travel and also to welcome those who've escaped persecution here to come here to the UK and to sit with them and to talk with them and to discover what it means for them to be salt and light in their context and to be encouraged by them and also a little bit challenged by them. We need their faith. They're like a mirror. They reflect back to us what true commitment to Christ looks like in really difficult and challenging circumstances. They're a challenge and a provocation to us. We need their example. And they need us too. They need our support and our encouragement and our prayers. One of those I've been privileged to meet is a man called Samela. Samela leads our work in sub-Saharan Africa. We'll see a little bit later on in the service about the challenges that the church is facing in that region. Samela travels around encouraging church leaders and supporting them in the difficult situations they find themselves in. And Samela said this to me: "We only survive because of the prayers of others. They give us the grace to stand." And so I encourage you to pray for our persecuted family this morning. It's not just because that's a good thing to do and that's good for Open Doors. It's because our prayers can make a difference. And our prayers can strengthen and embolden a church which is weak and which is struggling. To share with you a couple of stories this morning of Christians being salt and light in difficult and challenging places. I want to tell you the story of Pastor Laxman. Pastor Laxman is Indian. India is the largest democracy in the world. This year, India remains number 11 on the World Watch List, so just outside the top 10. It's a country which is incredibly rich and diverse, a kind of almost continent on its own, a network of communities and cities. There's a growing belief within India, a kind of nationalist identity, that to be Indian is to be Hindu. And the sense that India belongs to the Hindus, that's the slogan of the BJP, the ruling party there. And so Christians increasingly feel squeezed and marginalized and pushed on to the edge of things. A couple of years ago, 2 years ago, India hit the headlines in terms of persecution when there was rioting and great unrest in Manipur and the region around that. Hindu extremists went from door to door seeking to find Christians. Over 400 churches were destroyed. Many Christians sadly were killed. 50,000 were displaced. A challenging place to be a Christian. And Laxman is a Christian in India. And not just a Christian, he's also a pastor. And not just a pastor, he's also a convert, somebody who was a Hindu who became a Christian. His story is that he is married. His wife is called Latika, and she fell ill, and she became seriously ill, so much that Laxman and Latika feared that she would die. Laxman deeply loves his wife, and he did all that he could to try and save her. He took her to doctors, took her to hospitals, took her to clinics. They couldn't help. He took her to the Hindu temples. He asked the priest to pray for her. They couldn't help. He took her to the occult practitioner in the village to see if they could help. They couldn't help. And then when he sort of exhausted every opportunity, he finally took her to a little church in their village. And he asked the church to pray for her. And they laid hands on Latika and they prayed for her. And in one prayer session, Latika was miraculously healed. Laxman says this: "My wife received healing with just one prayer at church. I understood immediately that here was a God who answered prayers. As I began to understand the power of this God, I was determined to spread his message of truth to as many people as possible." Laxman started a small church, initially just three people: him, his wife, and one other believer. They knew very little. They had the scriptures and a very basic understanding, but what they did know was that there is a God of heaven and earth who answers prayer. There is a God who is able to intervene into people's lives and make a difference. And they shared that message with the people of their village and the surrounding community. And the small church began to grow and to flourish and extend. And then there was a church of 400, discipling people, having baptisms, serving the community. It was a church that we would say was blessed by God, blessed with good numbers, blessed with an impact in the midst of the community. And then the extremists came to shut it down. And they burnt down the church building. And the police came and they took a poor man from amongst the church community, a man who was illiterate, who couldn't read, who'd only been a Christian for a few months, and they told him to sign a blank piece of paper, and he refused. And they said, if you don't sign this piece of paper, we will destroy your house. And so he signed the piece of paper. And then the police wrote a confession around it, around the signature, that Laxman had bribed this man to become a Christian. And they arrested him, and he was imprisoned. He was imprisoned for 6 days, and during those 6 days, he says that was the hardest time. Nobody in his church came to visit him. And then they released him. And when they released him, he discovered that his church had been destroyed, his congregation had been scattered, and he was forbidden to meet with anybody else in his church. Pastor Laxman is now involved in a legal battle. He's had to move to a different area. Open Doors has come alongside, and we found him a safe place to live, and we're giving him legal advice as he fights the court case that has been brought against him. He still pastors a church, but he pastors a church in secret, meeting together with just a few dozen believers at night in different locations. And Jesus would say that he is still blessed, that his church is still blessed. It's still in the right place, and it's still bringing glory to God, our Heavenly Father, and it's still seeing God, our Heavenly Father, work in its midst. There's a quote from Pastor Laxman: "I was determined to spread his message of truth to as many people as possible." Or you could paraphrase it: "I was determined to be salt and light in the place that God has set me." Another area of the world that we're particularly concerned about this moment as Open Doors is sub-Saharan Africa. There's a jihadist insurgency taking place across the region. Groups called like Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda in Africa and ISIS are increasing their stronghold, increasing their domain of influence, and they're seeking to drive Christians from their ancestral homelands. We estimate that around 16 million Christians in Nigeria and the surrounding regions have been forced from their homes and forced to move into internally displaced camps. Ordinary Christians, people like you and me with jobs and kids and homes that they want to care for, just seeking to be salt and light in the midst of their communities, forced to flee from their lives at the hands of an intolerant enemy. I want to share with you again another story, this time the story of Pastor Barnabas. In fact, he's going to share it himself for us this morning.
Let me tell you, millions of Christians are displaced in the whole Africa. News don't take it, don't carry it. Politicians, they don't talk about it. Government don't talk about it. Nobody talks about it. We are remaining in the darkness. As if we are being rejected. We don't even know where we are. Each and everyone you are seeing here, we are all Christians, and we are displaced because of violence. This here is my house. Three of them stayed here with me and my wife. Then the rest of the children join up my neighbor to stay away this night. From here to here is 1.5 meters. It's smaller than the a double mattress. I was in the farm with my brother and my late brother's wife when we heard a rapid shooting gun sound. He said, we should run. It was during this time that my brother was being shot and killed by the militants. And my brother's wife was also shot and being macheted and killed by the militants. When they come to attack us, they call us Kaperi, that we don't have any religion. So that makes us understand that they are purely attacking Christians. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. God bless you all.
Amen.
It's Luhun Han. Ka se rume num no drase. Alwe num zra shafta kas de chiso kresha hinga gis nigene. As a pastor, I am supposed to take care of these sheep. And being as a pastor in the camp, me too, I am displaced. I don't have anything to give them. We only pray together and share the word of God together.
Seen that video many times, I always find it very powerful. It's a video that speaks straight to your heart. You can feel the sort of righteous indignation in Pastor Barnabas's voice. It should not be like this. It should not be like this for Christians in Nigeria, and it need not be like this. What can we do? There's two things I'd like to ask you to do this morning. I've already asked you to pray. I invite you to come and see me at the end. I've got resources over there that can help you to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. And I know Mike's going to lead us in prayer later on in our service. But I'd also like you to add your voice to Pastor Barnabas's voice as well. The church in Africa has asked us as Open Doors to raise awareness of their plight and also to speak on their behalf. And so we've got a campaign at the moment where we're seeking to gather 1 million signatures on a petition that will call for an end to violence against the Christian community in sub-Saharan Africa, and particularly in Nigeria. Because the truth is, there is something that can be done. The Nigerian government can put measures in place to guarantee the security of those Christians who are in those camps. There is things that they could do. The army could do more. Security could be established, but they choose just to look away. So we want to put a petition together of 1 million signatures that will go to our government, the European government, the African nations, and the Nigerian governments to say, you can do more, you must do more to establish security for the church in Nigeria. And I'd invite you to sign our petition again, see me over there, and you can do that. If you just sign it, that's great. If you sign it and tick the box, then we'll send you resources and communicate with you and tell you more ways that you can support the Ministry of Open Doors. But if you just want to sign the petition, that's great. Just sign your name. Thank you for your time this morning. I want to close with an encouragement. And the encouragement is this. Blessed are you when people persecute you on Jesus Christ's sake, for his name's sake. Blessed are you when you experience the squeeze of discrimination, when people look at you oddly when you invite them to an Alpha course, when people give you the cold shoulder when they find out that you go to church, when people interrogate you as to what you're doing when you walk down their street praying for Arise Sheffield. You're in the right place. And you're doing the right thing, and our Heavenly Father smiles upon you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the privilege we have in meeting together this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us and you would encourage us. And I pray you would help us to be salt and light in the midst of the community that you have set us. And Lord, if any of us are struggling this moment with feelings of being unworthy of living up to what it means to be a Christian for you, and struggling with people treating us harshly because of our faith in you, experience that squeeze of discrimination. Lord, may we know afresh your blessing on our lives. May we know that we are in the right place, the place that you've set us. May we have a fresh touch of your spirit and your strengthening and your encouraging. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.